The Holy Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is recorded in Luke, the 6th chapter. And Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, you've already received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you who will listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If anyone takes away your coat, don't withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So let's have a show of hands here. How many of you made the decision yourself to be born? Oh, I don't see any hands going up. A couple of wise guys were at the sound room the first service, but otherwise, okay, how many of you were born with full fashion sense, apart from your birthday suit, okay? How many of you were born with the ability to drive a car? No? Or read a book, all right? How many of you were born knowing how to use every app on your iPhone? No, none, all right. Well, and how many of you were born knowing exactly how to communicate in a healthy way in a relationship? See, even Kirsten and Phil needed help with that. I mean, so, well, none of us came into life with that stuff, because anything we've acquired in this life has been gift of the God who gave us birth. So repeat this passage after me. Naked did I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's Job 1:21. And you know, the book of Job is a useful companion for us when we're going through tough stuff in our lives. And who isn't going through something like Rosanna Dana in the old Saturday night, shows, she'd say, you know, if it isn't one thing, it's always another, you know. And today, remember especially those of us who have experienced the death of friends and family members, all the saints that we're remembering today, the ones on the altar that we've remembered and all that are in your hearts and minds. And that means grieving. And grieving is a normal, healthy thing for us whenever we've lost someone or something. We all grieve at some time or another. You know, you grieve because you never got as far as you wanted on this road in your life, or maybe you grieve because you got to the top of the ladder and it's pretty lonely up there. You know, you grieve because a friend has betrayed you. Maybe you grieve because, as best as you knew, you did the right thing and now you're paying for it. You grieve because your kids grew up, or you grieve because your kids never seem to grow up. You know? You grieve because you've lost part of your body through illness, perhaps, or maybe even your hair. You know? You grieve because you've loaded all your things in a moving van and kissed your friends goodbye. Or you grieve because you can't load everything in a van and kiss it all goodbye. because people are caught in a multitude of griefs over what is, what was, and what never shall be, huh? So, how many of you know this story of Job in the Old Testament? How many of you know this? It's a great story. If you haven't read it, it's the one good book in the Old Testament, Job, just before the book of Psalms. And Job was a faithful, righteous man who had everything going for him. And then he suffered grief layered on grief layered on grief, one thing after another. He lost his herds, then he lost his crops, and then the house toppled on all of his children and they were all killed. And then finally he lost his health. He was covered in boils and sores and just so sick and so sick he wanted to be dead. And this whole book of Job is about how to make sense of the suffering and grief that are just part of our human experience. And after listening to his three friends try to make sense of his suffering, Job ends up questioning God himself. And that's part of the grief experience, isn't it? Why? 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 I recall a year that was rougher than most for me. I was the pastor at Emmanuel Church in Milwaukee. And things were going so well. This was an inner-city church. I mean, we were in the press because we had the best mission and vision statements you can imagine, and we had these strategies. We were working it, and we were getting into this neighborhood, and people were being impacted by our ministry. It was so awesome. And then all of a sudden, people started dying like crazy. Within 3 months, seven precious people in that congregation died. The first one, Blanchard, was head of the men's ministry at Emmanuel, and he was one of those people that you depend on, you know, that is going to be speaking truth to you in a loving way, sometimes slapping around a little bit, but lovingly. He was that way for me. And he was, so it was his funeral, and Emily and I were standing down in the fellowship hall before the funeral, and by the way, the men's ministry is what was in charge of that kitchen. They didn't allow the women to touch it without permission. The men were in charge of the kitchen. Anyway, Palmer was one of those guys, and he had been a baker. And Palmer was busy, you know, arranging napkins on tables or whatever he was doing. And I looked to him and I said, you know, I can't, if I lost Palmer, I don't know what I would do now, you know, because he was another one of those kind of guys in my life. Well, guess what? 2 months later, he died right after Easter, the Monday after Easter, dead with a heart attack on his lawn. And then more people died. And then finally, the last one, my sister's boyfriend, Dick, who was really like a brother to me, committed suicide up in Eau Claire. It was, you know, and I was so worn out by then, I couldn't even drive to Eau Claire for the funeral. I had to take a bus. And then all these infections started coming up through my body. The doctors couldn't figure out what they were, and they just kept coming and coming. And of course, you know, pastors don't get depressed, right? You know, that doesn't happen. So I wasn't depressed, obviously. But, what I did instead was I went and to get some help, some training in grieving to help other people who were grieving, right? Well, that was helpful. And on the way to way back to the church, after one of those sessions, I got back to the church and another call from the hospital. Somebody else is dying, get right back to the hospital. And you know what? I was driving down 35th Street down towards St. Luke Hospital, and I was so mad at God, I pulled over and I just pounded on that steering wheel and swore at God, and I said, "That's it. I've had it. If anybody else dies around here, I'm quitting, and I mean it." Well, nobody died for a year. So, well, we'll take that however you want. But I was still pretty depressed, you know. And I still had all these questions about the goodness of God. What was that, you know? And just like Job had, those questions about God's goodness, you know. Then came All Saints Sunday, and we faced all these people who had died, these seven people, and the candles on the altar, and all our congregation have faced all these losses, you know. And this passage from Job that I shared with you was read before the candles were lit. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I went, whatever. You know. And then this strange thing happened. As the names were read and the bell was tolled with each of those names, it's as if they appeared in the sanctuary. This is an old Gothic, lovely Gothic sanctuary. And all of a sudden I could see them standing around, surrounding the congregation gathered. It was just the wildest thing. One after another, and I saw them, and I saw their faces, and they were calm, they were content, they were smiling. Even my brother-in-law, Dick, I called him. And there we were, literally, in the company of the saints, you know, the communion of saints we talk about in our creed. And they just stayed there during the rest of that service, during communion, everything. I felt them there, saw them there. And God started talking to me. He says, "Now, Gary, who did you think you were questioning me?" You know? "Who are you to doubt that even now I can't bless you, even in your grief and through your grief?" And just like I blessed these people around you, I've blessed you. How did you think you ever had them in your life in the first place if I hadn't blessed you with them? I didn't have to understand then for a bit. I kind of shut up. It was kind of like, Eugene Peterson, when Job ends up getting lectured and questioned by God in chapter 40 here, Job says, "Well, I'm speechless. Words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen." Well, that's where I got to. And these words were ringing in my ears, you know. You came into this world with nothing. You'll return to me with nothing, just like those saints that are surrounding you. Nothing but blessing, all right? Nothing but blessing. My blessing, the blessing you were launched with in the first place. Blessing, 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 all blessing, because that's all life is. Blessing. Nothing but blessing. Well, I have to tell you, that was a turning point in my grief. You know, I still had to get over all the infections. I still had to finish that grief course, and I still had to get over being depressed. That took a while. But you know what? A few years later, when my mother died at a pretty early age, about a little older than I am now. Yikes. Well, it was awful. It was a hard grief. It was tough. But a couple of months into that grief after she died, I realized something. One thing I hadn't done was I had not asked the question, why, anymore. I didn't have to ask that question anymore. Why? It didn't matter. And the grief, even though I didn't want it, felt like something holy, something sacred, mysterious, but blessed. I felt blessed with this grief. Isn't that crazy? Blessed with grief. Even in the face of death, surrounded by blessing. That's where Job got to, I believe, when he finally said, "I'm ready to shut up and listen." Well, my prayer for all of you who are grieving the loss of loved ones or any kind of loss you're having right now, that in some strange way you experience it all as blessing, even the grief you're going through. As we remember and are surrounded by all the saints in light, including these seven precious ones on our altar, may you experience the presence of those precious saints who love us still, living and dead. And may you have a holy, blessed grief in which you can say confidently, thankfully even, with Job, repeat after me, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."